You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
And
my name
much
is Daniel
more.
Lim. And that's Todd Atkins. Okay. When you made that sound effect at the beginning, whatever that low pitch
it was
thing,
a
growl. Yeah, you did. You know what it reminded me of?
A moose. You're from Canada, so.
No, it reminded me of the fact that on our other podcast that we do together, the Five Leadership Questions one, we just introduced a new segment.
Oh, yeah.
Book Breakdown.
Yes.
Like legitimately. And this morning, our marketing guy, Chandler, like the best. Actually, he's not very good. Don't try to steal him. But
he's horrible. Really? And, you know, you will never meet a more divisive, disruptive,
apathetic.
Oh my goodness.
Just, yeah, I don't even know why he's on our team.
Not even remotely a good team player.
But he did choose amazing music for Book Breakdown.
That's right. And yeah, his name is Handler Smith. Handler Smith is, yeah, he's not that great.
Yes. So if you have not listened to the Five Leadership Questions podcast, or if it's been a while, just go right now, look up 5LQ or Five Leadership Questions. Todd and I are now the regular co-hosts.
Yep.
And then there were
the
two.
Twice now.
Yes. But we have, we're basically breaking down business books and talking about the ministry application to them. So that's going to be fun. Anyways,
let's a reunion podcast at some point, or just all podcasts in general.
Yeah.
Like you do three. So
I do.
So, you know, imagine if we got Ed, Christina, Eric Geiger, and Barnabas. And we just all had one big free-for-all.
I would love to see Christina up against Ed.
I think she would give him a run for his
life. Oh, yeah. No, completely. Yeah, Christina is so fast. She is very witty and even more witty than Ed. So I think it'll be fun. Anyways, let's get to our question for today from James. This is going to be a good one because he actually references one of the sayings that we say quite often on the podcast, which is the leaders and the lost. So let's listen in.
Daniel, Ed, and Todd, this is James from Middlefield, Ohio. First, just want to say thanks for all you guys do at New Churches. Love it. Second, I have a question around balance. What's the best way to maintain a balance of spending time with leaders and the lost with the practical demands that increase as a church plant begins to grow? It seems super important in order to continue strong kingdom work for the gospel to not get caught in the isolation of simply caring for the churched people. But it seems like many pastors end up stopping spending time with leaders and lost as the church they are a part of grows. What are your thoughts and suggestions on this? Thanks.
So first of all, I love how he references leaders in the lost.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like that words build worlds. I mean, these are the most repeated sayings on our podcast.
Yeah. But what's interesting is leaders in the lost is Ed's. So the fact that he's saying Daniel and Todd and saying leaders of the lost, it just warms my heart. I want you to know that.
That's
he
great.
Also has a great voice.
He does have a great voice.
Fill in sometime.
In fact, James has written a couple articles for us on new churches. I mean, this guy's fascinating. So we'll put it in the show notes. Go to newchurches.com, hit podcast, find episode 322. But what you're going to find there on the show notes is actually, like, he's a software programmer who is a pastor who is now planting a church. So he's bivocationally planting a church, but he's a software programmer. So he actually talks about the theology of software programming.
Like, nice.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So you definitely have to check out that article. But let's get to the question here. What's the best way to maintain a balance of spending time with leaders and the lost as the practical demands of just running a church grows?
So I would say, first of all, you never outgrow your need to relate to the lost.
I thought you were going to talk about punk coverage.
No.
Okay.
Outrunning punk coverage. If I would be talking about my marriage at that point. but no, the which I would say I outrun my punk coverage if you're trying to figure out what that means. much like Daniel. yep. But anyway, the thing I would say is you don't outgrow that, meaning like you can't ever give that up, regardless of how much your church is growing or how many people are coming in. All of those things, it doesn't matter. Like, this is a constant and consistent thing, according to Scripture, that we're supposed to be doing. Now, I would say, when you look at leaders and the lost, as your church grows and as your leadership grows and as the layers and levels of leaders grow in your pipeline, then I am a front row guy, where whoever is in my front row is who I'm going to spend the most time investing in. And I came up with that when I was a student pastor. So I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say with that is not front row. What I'm trying to say is the people that are, from a pipeline perspective, who I'm supposed to be developing would be, if I'm leading the church, then those people that are leading the ministries. Those could be staff people, they could be lay people, but that's who I'm spending most of my time with. So whereas before, it may have just been leaders of leaders, as my church grew and I put people over ministries or brought on staff, as they grow, I need to switch who I'm pouring into because I'm trying to model to them what I want them to do for others. But again, man, I would say I never grow out of the number one thing I'm supposed to do as a believer, the Great Commission.
So for me, I would say it's less about whether or not you feel like you're spending enough time with them as much as it is about whether or not they feel like they are getting enough time with you. So there's a big difference in perspective and posture there. And even in the sense of where you're spending time with them and how you're spending time with them. So for example, you might have one of your leaders, high capacity leaders, maybe he leads your Sunday school ministry or your group's ministry, and he's one of your number one coaches, or, you know, he's just kind of leading. He's not just leading themselves or leading others, he's leading leaders or leading the department. Now, for him, what does it look like for you to spend enough time with him? Does it mean that you have lunch every week with him? Does it mean that you have, coffee every other week with him? Maybe for a period of time as you're building him up. But what if the guy's uber competent, incredibly faithful, but just really busy with work? Would they actually appreciate that much time? Or possibly for you to actually talk with them every other week or every week as you're driving home from work, right? Or maybe it's a quick text message here or there and it's a monthly call for you to actually assess with that leader and ask whether or not they feel like they are being supported and they're being cared for and empowered and equipped. I mean, that's going to be the big thing, because honestly, it might actually be more burdensome for them to spend more FaceTime with you than phone time.
Yeah. And they may say, oh, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
I will say, okay, so I agree with you for sure. At the same time, I would say unless someone can accuse you of exclusivity, you're probably not developing anybody.
Mm.
So there should be people that somebody in the church is jealous of or could point to and say, oh, Todd's spending more time with Daniel again. Or I saw his Instagram and he's out with Daniel at the whatever sports ball game.
Yeah. All right. So let's pause right there. Let's get back to the exclusivity part, because I want to respond to that. But today,
I do
want to respond to that. We're gonna fight it out again here. But today's episode is actually brought to you in part by Noah's Event Venue, which is the perfect venue for all of life's events. So if you're getting ready to plant a church or start a new location for your multi-site church, we want to encourage you to check out Noah's Event Venue, because the cool thing about renting with them is that, number one, they're cheaper. I asked. Number two, they do the setup for you. Number three, there's a catering prep area in the kitchen for fellowship times. And number four, you can actually rent them midweek as well as on Sunday. So out of their 40 locations across the country, half of them already have church groups that meet in them. So if you're looking for a location for your church plant or campus that's all set up for you, go to noaseventvenue.com/church. Once again, that's noaseventvenue.com/church. All right, let's get back to the exclusivity thing. When it comes to that idea of exclusivity, what I love about that, what I love about being able to show that and maybe even people being able to accuse you against that, is that actually brings up conversation that you can call other people to. And you're saying, hey, it's not that I love this guy more than others, but this is a person I'm building into and he's going to be doing the same right. with others.
It's the important piece of that is that it transitions. So I had the blessing of being in a small group with a guy named Joel Rosenberg, who's really known for writing end of times stuff and Middle East stuff. And he actually wrote about the planes crashing in the Twin Towers before it happened, which is why he rose to prominence. But anyway, what people don't realize is he's obsessed with discipleship.
Yeah.
And
he wrote a good book on that one, too.
He did. He did. That might not be the number one bestseller, but that's one you should read for sure. Anyway, one of the things that he always talked about is, you know, having a definitive time for when you were discipling or I would say developing someone. And so even with leaders, I would say, hey, if you have staff members, of course, you're always going to be investing in those staff members because that's part of your job as leading the staff. However, in addition to that, and in general, you should be having a mix of staff and non-staff, pseudo-staff, like whatever you want to call them,
yeah.
guys that you are pouring into and spending time with. And you need to have like a ballpark game plan time frame that you're going to be working with this person. That may be a year, maybe 18 months, but you need to go ahead and establish that with that person and really invite them into that relationship and help everyone understand that this is kind of a commitment that you're making. When I'm talking about spending time with leaders in the lost, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So for me personally, there's a guy that I've been discipling for the last year on Fridays. And when I'm praying with him and meeting with him, and he even knows that we're doing this toward the end of him going and then discipling others in the same way. But I haven't necessarily put a time frame on that because maturity is an ongoing process that doesn't end on this side of eternity. So as we're working through issues, as we're wrestling through that aspect, you know, and you know what he's working through, he knows that that's the end goal. But we've talked a lot about leaders. We haven't really talked about spending time with the lost. And the thing about spending time with the lost is I sincerely believe that you as a pastor, you can spend time with leaders on quote unquote church time. Now I know it's hard to distinguish between personal time and church time, depending on right. the size of your church and if you're the lead pastor or not. But in your while you're spending time with leaders, that is quote unquote work time, daytime, church time. But when you're spending time with the lost, I want to encourage you to do that in your personal time because you want to model what can be achievable to everyone else in your church. So in the stories that you share with your congregation, you know, in a sermon or when you're leading a study, talk about, hey, after work or when I got home, we were grilling and then I saw my neighbor over the fence and we started talking. Or on the weekend, I helped my neighbor move or we connected, we went to the game together. And so using language like that so that people they can't accuse you of saying, well, you're just using church time. Yeah. You're our evangelist.
You're paid to do that.
Yeah. Anyone can do that if you're getting paid for it. I would do that if you're paying me. And you're like, no, this is personal time. And the more you can normalize that, then even to the point, if you normalize that and that's celebrated, and then the seniors group invites you to their potluck Saturday afternoon, you can say, hey, actually, I'm going to the football game with my neighbor who is not a Christian, or I'm going to go play a round of golf with a few of my neighbors who don't know Christ. So sorry I can't come to your potluck. I know I'm your pastor, but remember, leaders and the lost, I'm going to go play golf. Now you might not, okay, you might not say it like that, but if you build up that culture,
sorry, leaders and the lost.
Drop the mic. But if you do that and develop that culture, there's going to be this acceptance of, oh yeah, actually, that is more important than a church potluck.
# Jesus Juke.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into our podcast. If you have not yet left a question, you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device. Or if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to hear from you.